Hey, this is Angel with Sex Talk. We are recording today with a few guests. We have Mark Dorsey, who's the CEO of Aspec, and we have, I'll let you introduce yourself so I'm not using the names you don't want me to use.
Shannon works perfectly.
Perfect. And?
TK.
Woohoo! And today we are talking about sex, and considering this is Sex Talk, I'm sure that you are all totally surprised and horrified that sex is the topic. Right?
What? No.
Specifically, we want to talk about how those conversations about sex can be incredibly painful and why, and also some of the benefits to being able to have those conversations in a really open, you know, sort of manner. Nobody wants to take a stab at that. And the room goes silent. Man. Where did you learn how to talk about sex?
I'm still learning.
That is a beautiful answer.
Yeah, 37, still learning. I still, you know, fear rejection and everything else. But I've gotten to the point where those conversations have been a benefit, so I'm willing to have them and be uncomfortable and that. I don't know, they're less uncomfortable than guessing.
Guessing can be fun. Sarcasm. Yeah. Sarcasm. And how about you? Where'd you learn how to talk about sex?
I honestly cannot remember. But then I've always been one of those people who just openly talks about things. So definitely the whole it's better to talk about it than guess, I learned early on. Yeah. And yeah.
So it learned more from trial and error, like not something that you think was modeled to you or?
Oh, it was definitely not something that was modeled to me, no. No. I'm trying to remember back when and when, but, I don't have an answer for this one.
And that's, it's like, because there's not a class we take, like that's really common, right? For us not to know exactly where we picked up that specific skill or if we even have it, right? Yeah. What does it look like? How do we know that we know how to talk about sex? Yeah. How about you?
Internet.
I don't think the internet actually teaches you how to have the kind of conversations that you're able to have regarding sex.
Well, I mean, you know, not the sort of internet locations that most people go to when they're thinking about sex.
So not Pornhub.
Not Pornhub. No, when I was growing up, Pornhub wasn't quite a thing. No, like, you know, IRC channels, Internet Relay Chat, I think it's did for... It's been a long time. But, yeah, there was a lot of different sexually themed channels where people were having, you know, really frank and open conversations because they were all anonymous and using aliases online. And I spent some time there. Like, I wasn't a regular user or anything, but I think I picked up a lot of the open discussion from many of the open discussions I participated in. Hmm. Because there was no real consequences there, and when I became an adult, I just gave less of a fuck, so there weren't a lot of consequences there. Yeah.
I think there's a lot more consequences for not talking openly, although, from my experience, the messaging that you get as a child is that there are a lot of consequences for being open about sex, right?
Yeah.
One, the grown-ups lose their marbles when you start talking about sex, because they're like, blah. You're a child, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
And certainly, mm-hmm. proper people don't have those conversations, right? But it was like a little magic turning point, I think, when I figured out how heavy the consequences were for not talking openly about sex, particularly with your partner or even your doctor, really. I mean, those conversations have to happen,
yeah.
right? Did you find that your childhood messaging was really different from... what you had to use in relationships?
Not for me, because my childhood was so different. I was essentially sans parenting, so it was just a whole lot of really bad experiences, and then no conversation through a 10.5 year marriage that didn't lead to a satisfying sex life. And then I would say poly is where I started to have conversations previous to sex, because you needed to talk about rules and agreements and make sure everybody was on board. So it meant talking about sex before the sex happened. And that kind of jumped that for me.
That's really cool. I hadn't thought about that for Polly.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. I never really connected it till now either. But it's like you had to get permission for everything, so you had to kind of talk about what was on the table ahead of time. That was the biggest switch from everything previous to that was very passive. Let things happen until you're not okay, and then say no. And in my case, I was usually not okay for a lot of things before I said no, like really uncomfortable before I was comfortable speaking up, partially because of social anxiety. But my whole role was to say no or let it happen. That was it. There was no conversation before Polly.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, that whole let it happen thing is definitely messaging that's given to feminine presenting people, right? Like, that's just either, you know, let it happen to maintain the relationship, or it's your responsibility not to let it happen.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, to whatever, what does that funny comedian person say? That to that arm coming out of the dark to give you a hug out of nowhere. What could be wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
Do you, like, when you think about the messaging that you got as a child, do you think that it varies from what you found practical in your own life?
Sheesh, I've been thinking about that since you asked Shannon. actually, thinking back on it, conversation in my family was probably, I would have to say most people would have seen the conversations that happened between my parents in front of us children, and today would probably call children's services.
Yeah.
So I could see, my parents were very frank and very open. And quite frankly, they were usually fighting and yelling at each other about it, but it was always within earshot. So I don't think I ever got the messaging that I couldn't talk about things. More so is the messaging that I'd have to do it with a yell.
Only when angry.
yeah. I mean, like, definitely, I know with my childhood, with that one there, like, that was one thing I always tried to avoid. I didn't want to have to yell at my partners. I wanted to be able to talk to them with a level, clear head. But,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it was, I wouldn't say I fell under the model of your question.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's absolutely valid. I think everybody's got a different experience, right? And how about for you, Mark? Was your childhood messaging, and this is cheating because I already know kind of the answers because Mark and I know each other pretty well, but did you get different messaging than what you use today?
Yes. I mean, my parents were always fairly honest with me if the subject of sex came up. But because I'm pretty squarely on the Asperger's end of the spectrum, I didn't really have much interest in sex until late teens, at least. I mean, delayed development being what it is. So I didn't get into a lot of sex talks with my mom or my dad. Now, my father was a doctor, so, I mean, I heard stories from the ER more than anything else.
Oh.
Some hobo comes in with a rum bottle up his ass or something. That I got to hear about, but it was not a conversation that I started.
So did that make you... Did hearing about that kind of stuff make you explore anally yourself? Like, did that... Do you think that fed an interest? Because that's always the fear parents have,
yeah,
right? We're going to tell them about it, and it never occurred to them beforehand.
There were never pleasure themes in these stories. It was always someone did something that was dumb, and it hurt them, and they ended up in the emergency room. So there's not really a lot of incentive to explore because of that. Now, adversely, there's a lot of pleasure nerves and the prostate. That's essentially the male G-spot in there. So that would be more an incentive. But certainly not the stories that my father was sharing from the ER. No.
Do you think there were any instances in, like, your childhood where you were given a message that included negative consequences about pleasure or sex or bodies or relationships, like that kind of thing?
Not really in my family. I definitely saw people either being treated like the girlfriend or, you know, the side fuck in my circle of friends, you know. There would be the girls that they would date, and then because my friends were generally male, straight. It was a lot of, like, okay, well, this is my horror story. Is like, you know, I went to the bar, I picked up this slut. Like, really terrible derogatory thing. So you were either the person they wanted to date, or, yeah, somebody.
So relationship fuck, material, so. Or bedroom material. No crossover, really.
Yeah, yeah. So it was tough. I definitely liked the older boys and stuff, so it ended up being this weird thing where it was like I was put in a position of saying no, but I didn't really understand even the mechanics of sex because I had this vacuum of information. So, just a lot of confusion.
Also not an unusual story.
Yeah.
In a society that is just starting to figure out comprehensive sex ed for kids.
Yeah.
Huh. And for you, do you think that there were, like, messages that you were exposed to as a youth that kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do share.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, understanding where my parents were, I was, you know, I remember a lot of my relationship values came from TV, to be very specific, Saved by the Bell.
Mm.
So I definitely that message of there's this person, you love that person, this is the person you are meant to be with for the rest of your life, and all the other stuff doesn't really matter. They're, you know, you bend over backwards to make this person happy, you cut yourself off at the knees to make this person happy, which I can definitely see how that affected my life later on. but yeah, that definite message that, you know, there's that one person for you that is...
your soulmate.
Yeah, that's definitely something that that shaped a lot of my ideals going forward until my divorce and my decision with Polly. And then definitely going Polly has definitely changed a lot of those ideals.
Yeah.
So understanding the psychology of people as well. The more you learn, the more you realize that there is no one person. So,
thank goodness, because you consider how many people are on the planet, and if there was only one person you could ever seriously click with, that's be a long journey.
Yeah. Well, that fear of missing that one person.
Yeah.
I can definitely see how that affected my decision to stay with people that I really shouldn't have.
Yep.
So.
Me too.
Yeah. There's nodding's going all around here. Well, yeah.
Yep.
How about you, Mark? Was there any negative messaging that?
Well, no, I'm just running through a lot of different.
Which one do I share?
Awkward scenarios from my youth. No, I mean, I was definitely not successful in love until I was out of my teens. So I think I managed to avoid some of those traps, I guess. But when I was younger, I was definitely one of those dumbasses who falls into what is the currently categorized nice guy, who by merit of being the nice one is just waiting for his female friend to decide that he's the one worth investing in.
Yeah.
I didn't take it to the douchebaggery level you see some people do now, but I certainly realized at a certain point that wasn't really going to work out, and moved on with my life. So,
and that explains why you're so vocal about that kind of attitude too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, well, everyone looks back on their teenage years and it's usually like, oh, I was such a fucking idiot.
We need to change it to, I was such a teenager,
yeah.
Right? Because it's pretty common.
Layers of meaning, yes.
Mm-hmm. I know I had a lot of you know, in particular, Mark is very aware that I had a lot of guilt and shame messages. I think it's interesting, like, if we were to go around and do, like, the age difference, like, I'm certainly the oldest person in the room, and then socialized females, so lots of it's not your body, and you're not supposed to want to have sex, and all that kind of happy horse shit. Yeah, but I always did like sex, so it was a really confusing sort of little journey to go on. With that, we're going to head to a break. So I got some tunes for you, and we'll be back.
you so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station. Sex with me, so amazing. Sex with me, so amazing. Vodka and water and a lemon. And a few other things that I cannot mention. Ooh, na 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 na, five fingers on it, five fingers. Hit it like you want it, I mean hit it like I'm on it. Straight shots to the blue dot, shot, 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 shot. Baby, I'm a bigger poison. Feel alright. The sex doesn't get any better. Make it long, let it be all night. I know I make it hard to let go. Tonight, all night, I'ma roll. Even if I'm alone. Sex with me, so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. On a fake nigga like a station.
Sex Positive Education and Community Center, a nonprofit organization in Edmonton that offers workshops, socials, and so much more. Everything here is so shame-free, from our education classes on how to give an erotic spanking to how to talk to your kids about gender and sex. Check us out at www.aspecc.ca.
Rub, 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 bitch, rub. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit. Watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit. Watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Suckle jerk girls who spray. We got a male in the middle and we bukkake. I'm feeling good on an edible. I'm out if the hole is forgettable. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Feel free.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Peachy. Rub, 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 rub. rub. One pass 'em, thumb blast 'em, fun ask 'em, numb flask 'em. One pass 'em, thumb blast 'em, fun ask 'em, numb flask 'em. Suckle jerk girls, we play. Another male in the middle, so come on, let's spray. I'm feeling good, no incredible. I'm out just to see if it's gettable. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Feel free.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Peachy. Can't talk right now, this chick's dick is in my mouth. Can't talk right now, this chick's dick is in my mouth. Can't talk right now, this chick's dick is in my mouth. Can't talk right now, this chick's dick is in my mouth. Rise for me, 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 rise for me. Can't talk.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Listening to the uncensored broadcast of GTFOradio.com. Adult talk for the open-minded, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Welcome back. This is Angel with Sex Talk. We are broadcasting today with Mark, TK, Shannon, and myself. This is Angel, and we're talking about sex, and specifically, we're talking about sex. We were talking about some of the bizarre messages that we got about sex and love and romance and relationship building and that kind of thing. And I know that the four of us sitting here believe in the value of talking openly, particularly with your partners or potential partners, about sex, and as parents to our kids as well, about sex. So I'm wondering if anybody would like to share a positive moment where they took that risk and they did share with a partner or a lover, and how that all played out.
My first positive experience, I was dating an older boy. Definitely not quite in the realms of legal stuff, but we had dated on and off for quite some time. Always really respected that I was younger. At one point, about 15, I did want to have sex. And it completely consensual. As soon as it was done, I was like, you know what, in hindsight, I don't think I was ready for that. And it was like, okay, no big deal.
Wow. Just No pressure, no coming back at you, no...
There was no nothing. I could have, you know, wanted to date for another 4 years, wait till I was married, anything wouldn't have mattered. And it's somebody I still talk to on Facebook. And the first time we dated, I think I was like 13 or something like that. And no, we're not talking, he was an adult, just a couple years older. It took a lot of times where really bad experiences, but then when I was able to say no again to people and get that positive response again, I was like, oh, okay, this is how it's supposed to be.
We can actually have this conversation.
Yeah.
Do you think that that positive response impacted your ability to continue to develop that ability to talk about sex and to set boundaries? And
I definitely kind of went off the rails and had some bad experiences and stuff, but I think it planted that seed that those bad experiences weren't normal and they weren't okay, so that when I got into a better place a bit older, it helped me find that power again a little bit faster.
Yay, yeah. I kind of feel like we should all send a Hallmark card to this person.
I'm totally going to thank them.
Yay! How about you? Do you have a feel-good story?
Do I have a feel-good story? I don't know if I'd call it feel-good. Let me say one more time. No, when I got divorced, understanding that my divorce was from my high school sweetheart, 14 years, there was a lot of myself that I had been coming to understand. When I got out into the dating field, one of the things I wanted to make sure of was that I wasn't setting somebody up to date me who couldn't date all of me. So I would actually lay my cards out on the table very, very early. I'm a kinkster. I'm into hot spousing. There's a lot of dots that have to connect and a lot of things that have to line up. So in doing so, I could weed out people very quickly that weren't going to, in the long run, match me. Mm-hmm. I think if I had done as many people do with online dating and, you know, go online and find out the perfect profile to attract people, I don't think I'd have had the success that I do now in finding a wonderful partner who actually fits all of that.
Aww.
Looks away.
I love that you took that to the whole dating profile thing, because I hadn't even thought about that angle for being open and honest. Mm-hmm. But that's beautiful. Yeah. And you guys certainly are a really good fit, so hey, good job.
Yeah. I would say, OkCupid managed to kind of hook us up a little bit. I mean, we met at Taboo afterwards, but he had actually messaged me on OkCupid. And so, it was very cards on the table. Both of our profiles were very much like that.
For those of you who haven't figured that out, Shannon and I are together.
That's very cool. Do you have a feel-good story, Mark? Although I can't picture you lying about your sexual interests, because when I met you, you were like so blunt and so honest that I couldn't cope. It actually caused me anxiety.
That's true. So maybe that's not the feel-good story. Angel and I met, and it went terribly for her because I was too honest. Terrible. Before we really met, I'd been experimenting with the various swinging sites or adult friend finder type sites, and again, there's a lot of people shoveling bullshit with both hands on those kinds of sites. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Just being, upfront and honest about my interests and, unedited photos that were actually of me, that kind of thing, certainly served me well in that regard. But I don't know, I've always been really bluntly honest in a lot of aspects, so for me it just kind of came naturally to relationships as well. It doesn't do me as many favors when I'm building a resume. Apparently you're supposed to lie through your teeth on those.
True story. I think, probably TMI for a lot of people, but I know Mark is the one that taught me how to have those open conversations, and I had tried to be really open in other relationships, but that was something that was always weaponized and used against me later, sort of thing. Not exactly a good time. So, a couple of crappy marriages later, there I was with my very blunt, open, honest profile. I knew exactly what I wanted. I posted exactly what I wanted, met Mark that way. And then he wanted to actually have conversations about the sex that we had that included negative feedback. And I was like, fuck no. I know how this game is played, and I don't feel like having this as my new beating stick. But I remember the first time that we figured out writing the reports after, because we were doing some pretty intense play, and it was like really hitting a lot of buttons for both of us and trying to navigate, you just have to have that communication or he wouldn't be able to trust me enough to continue doing all those sexy things. So I started writing reports, and I think my favorite is when you asked me for a list of things I'd wished I'd done, and that never had the opportunity to do, so I did. Mark used it as a bucket list, and he actually started trying to provide those things one at a time. So it was like, shit. I had to talk to him about this because some of those things are fantasy and I don't actually want to do them. And it was great. Like, it was the first time we'd had like a really serious conversation. And it was the positive response to all the written reports that allowed me to do that verbally.
Yeah.
Right. Because he never used those written reports against me. Although you have to be very specific. If you say, when you did this, I didn't enjoy that, you need to say that time because otherwise it's off the menu forever.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, I mean, I'm laughing, but yeah, no, I appreciate that you respect boundaries like that and created that like little safe area to be able to do that kind of thing.
Fortunately, I was never able to find the miniature horse, so it all worked out.
I don't even get the joke. This isn't fair. Don't tell jokes and not explain it to me.
Your bucket list of fantasies. I was implying there was a horse on that list here. Just a small one.
But there wasn't.
That's what made it a joke.
It's not funny.
Well, kind of is.
Everybody laughed with me and I don't get it.
Oh no.
This is sort of how I picture the post-sex debriefings going for you guys.
Right?
Everyone was having a good time.
Just if anybody didn't catch that, apparently I'm missing that genetic thing that allows you to enjoy humor. whatever that is.
Pick up on it anyway.
Yeah. Well. So, and my face is all red, and I don't know why exactly. What is the hottest adventure you've had that you think is attributed to being able to talk about sex?
Oh.
I'm not asking for anything personal at all.
Oh, man. Hottest one was the first time that I could really play with gender and stuff. In a cigar lounge and being with people who understood that I was trans before I understood I was trans and have fun with it. Like, I actually got completely out of my head, out of my social anxiety and everything, and just like embraced boy me and got to have this fun kind of like dirty leather sex, and oh, it's glorious.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yay. How about you?
Oh.
Give me the dirt, TK.
Jeez. I'm asking for all the easy stuff here. My first experience with my partner and her partner, which would have been a different partner at the time, another man. As I said, hot spousing is one of my things. But it was the conversation and the communication between all three of us that was so clear and so open that made the whole experience just phenomenal. And actually the part I enjoyed most about that experience was the conversation, which happened in the middle of a busy bar while both him and I were pawing at my partner in front of the bartender and the waitress, who really had a good time watching. But yeah, it was definitely, without that conversation, the experience itself wouldn't have been as awesome as it was. And like I said, I enjoyed the conversation, I think, almost more than I did the actual experience.
Meow, that's also beautiful. Do I need to leave the room so you can freely share your favorite communication, openness, adventure?
You don't need to leave the room. I think our whole journey together with BDSM was really based on open and honest communication and conversation and feedback, both, you know, positive and negative. And we certainly couldn't have, you know, come as far as we have or tried as many things as we have without that conversation. So that's kind of years of positive results from having that kind of conversation.
You don't have like a favorite thing or a super awesome?
They're all pretty positive.
Talk dirty to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't put them on a pedestal.
gold medal system here?
Well, not really, no. I mean, I regard them all as really, because they were all positive in that, you know, they really helped us grow and develop and become closer, and it's not about, you know, which one was a little bit more dirty or a little freakier or anything like that. It was just an overall really positive relationship.
Aww. So. Aww. I guess I'll keep you. So now I feel like I have to pretend that there's not favorites. I think for me, because the whole BDSM thing is so blasé, like it's just something I've been involved in various aspects of the community for so long that it's like, yay, we're doing BDSM and the communication is awesome and I cannot believe the places it took us. But it's always been more complicated for me when it comes down to the sex than the kink sex. Right, kink's way easier to talk about. Everybody likes to get spankings. Even Elvis spanked that girl on TV, you know? So it was like, well, you didn't know that?
No.
Elvis spanks Priscilla in one of his movies.
Yeah. Have an Elvis
spank. The older movies always had spankings. Like, I actually wasn't aware that it was not something most couples did.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of assumed because, you know, watched a lot of old TV shows with my mom and my grandmas, and there was always spankings. So it was like,
I Love Lucy.
Huh?
Yeah. Flintstones.
Yeah.
I forgot Flintstones too. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. There was a lot of it in the Flintstones.
Oh yeah.
This needs to be right? A whole date night.
But when it was talking about sex, that was always a little more complicated for me. And actually, part of our dynamic was set up so that I wouldn't have to talk about sex all the time. It's like, these are the things I'm okay with. If you want to do them, because how. If you ask me in the moment, I'm going to say no, because that's what good girls say. And then I'm going to be sad, because I said no. But there were things that, like, if Mark brought them up, and I was like, mm-mm, like, that's not ever happening, we just never brought it up again, right? And when he had told me a story about fisting, and I was like, well, that's not fucking happening, like, ever, right? So he just never pushed that line, ever. So I had to, like, and this is how my brain works. So I'm like, oh, my God, good girls, don't do that. So I go, no, I'm not doing that. And I mean it. Like, it's not even I want to say yes, but I'm going to say no. But then I start thinking about it. And I Google it. And I watch a couple videos. And I check it out on FetLife. You know what I mean? And then I think about it a little more. And I wait for him to bring it up again. And he never brings it up again because he respects boundaries. So I had to actually bring it up and say, I don't think that can actually happen. Because, I mean, take a look at them fists. just saying. Fair. I want to promise that this is going to work. I'm totally game to try. And with that, I've got to take us to a break, so we'll be right back. You're listening to Sex Talk.
Suggestion. I might not tell. could only see. Cause I need more than you are gonna give.
Something new but not too scary. We've got a sexual adventure for you. 3 candles, all very low temperature, different colors for an exciting sensual experience. www.eroticcandle.com.
I've got 2 words for you. This is for the people.
back. You're listening to Sex Talk, and we are talking about sex. So is that like meta communication then? Ooh. Right, because you know, metacognition is thinking about thinking. But anyways, we were talking about some of the things we learned as we were growing up that maybe impacted our ability to view sex and relationships as something we could be open about, and then about some of the things we discovered as we learned to open up about sex and stuff. And now I would like to ask you a question. With everything you know now about sex and communication and stereotypes and all the rest of that, if you were going to sum up what you'd want other people to know when they're feeling insecure about talking about their needs and their pleasure, what would you want to tell them? Man. Right? Dead silence in the room.
You'll never get it if you can't talk about it.
No, that's valid.
By not talking about it, all you do is hide. You're hiding it from your partners. You're also hiding it from yourself. Mm. It's like wanting a cheeseburger and never going to get that cheeseburger because you're afraid to ask somebody for it. Mm. And it's the same thing. If you can't talk about it, you'll never get it. Yeah. And believe me, there's somebody out there who wants the same thing. There is people out there.
Yeah.
There is.
There are so many people out there.
And if you can't find them, get off Craigslist and get on FetLife.
Yeah.
Right? Find that special someone and you both need to fuck that cheeseburger together.
Ooh, cheeseburgers.
What a wonderful mental image. I like that one.
What would you add to that?
We're going to make cheeseburgers when we get home, right?
Yeah. Probably we're all nervous. Just rip that band-aid off and say it. Because if they're not okay with it, you're probably with the wrong person, or it's the wrong time, or whatever the case may be. But the more honest you are about things, the more you can get your needs met. And it's a lot easier in the long run than dealing with the worry and the stress. You can spend a week trying to bring something up with somebody or just have it be done. Right? And you're going to make that thing huge in your head in a week.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I actually find that if I overthink something, I can't make it come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm rehearsing it and I'm planning it and then I know what I should be saying and I've already thought out the 101 things that could go wrong with me saying it, but then it just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, A for texting. Would you add anything?
Well, I mean, on a similar note to what's already been said, is that certainly if the thing matters to you enough, whatever it is that you think that you really have to explore it, then have the conversation. Mm-hmm. But be prepared to hear no.
Mm. Yes.
And understand that no, and
respect that no.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is the kind of thing where your partner can always come back to you, whether it's a month later or 6 months later or a year later, and go, okay, I've had a chance to think about the thing.
Personal experience, Mark?
Possibly. Yeah. And I'd like to try the thing, and I've researched the thing, and I'm okay with exploring it. And if it doesn't work out, we'll stop. And you have to be okay with that. At the same time, as mentioned, that sometimes they're going to say no, and they might be freaked out, and you might be with the wrong person. If that thing really matters to you, then it's better to figure that out early.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you're getting a disgusted no or mockery or it's being used against you, that's probably not your soulmate.
Yeah.
And it's not so much, you know, they don't want to do the thing with you, it's that they weaponize it against you, and that's a bad sign because it's a lack of respect.
Yeah.
And you can't build a relationship without mutual respect.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was beautifully said.
Thank you.
I think I like that you brought up the whole no thing. And as the person who's always really hesitant to talk about all the slutty things, if you have a partner who is uncomfortable talking about the slutty things, you have to create that space where you're not just okay hearing no, but where you can actually do your own emotional labor on dealing with your hurt ego rather than making them do it. Because I think if Mark had done the, you know, hurt feelings thing, or even given an indication that he was annoyed that I had a no or a boundary, I don't know if I could have worked past all that fear and the guilt and the shame to have those honest conversations. But because if he felt negatively about it, he dealt with it himself rather than dumping that on me and making me feel like my boundaries were a problem.
Yeah.
Right? So that created a lot of safety. And then, yeah, I'm with you. Like, just say the fucking thing already. Just say it. I think the worst thing that's ever happened to me is somebody's gone no. Right? Yep. Which they were saying no when you weren't asking, because they can't say yes if you're not asking.
So. The scariest part, I think, of talking about these kind of things is the fear of the awkwardness, right? It can be very awkward to start conversations and to have conversations like this. And the best defense against awkwardness is to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, look, this is going to be a really awkward conversation, but... And then laugh about the awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair.
I think so. Do you have any regrets for having open conversations about sex?
I regret not having open conversations.
Yeah, that's really it with me too. Like, I wish I had learned this communication sooner.
Mm.
For sure.
Yeah. I wish I had figured out earlier that you could use the BDSM framework for communication, where it's, you know, negotiate for your wants and your limits, right? And have a way to communicate that really quickly and then debrief after when it came to sex. But it wasn't until Mark and I started not dating, because, you know, he was my not boyfriend, that I started looking at it that way. And I can't remember, somebody said something in one of the workshops we were in, and it was like a little epiphany. It's like, oh, sex is kind of like BDSM.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's funny, from my understanding, a lot of marriage counselors and relationship counselors are using that model of BDSM negotiation, especially for people in long-term relationships where their sex compatibility, sex drives have dropped off, to schedule sex and to use the BDSM model and framework on that. And they find even if you do it a week in advance, the sex drive and everything expands earlier
because you get excited about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I think it's, the anticipation is like so yummy.
Yeah.
Now,
yum yum yum.
I mean, like, I don't want to throw out horror stories. I have had a situation where I have thrown my cards on the table, and I have gotten rejected in pretty harsh ways.
Mm-hmm.
I was called some very unflattering names, but you know what? It's better to get that out of the way early.
Yeah.
If I had dated that person and then thrown out that when
10 years down the road,
you know, we were moving in or when we became more emotionally invested, then it would have been way more destructive. As it was, I was able to turn to the next person and tell them the story about it and laugh really good.
I mean, in some people, what you ask for might be outside of their boundaries, and that has to be okay. I mean, I wish everybody would decline nicely. I wish everybody felt safe to decline nicely. But, I mean, that's not what's going to happen. I've been called a few things in my time, too. Leave my cards on the table. But I still, I'm with you. I don't regret it. I certainly don't regret how open we've been. Like, that's really... done some magic for a relationship. Yeah. That's very cool. So for anybody who dropped in and is just listening now, this is Angel with Sex Talk. I'm talking with Mark Dorsey and TK and Shannon, and we're just kind of hanging out, talking about sex, like always. In 2 weeks, we're doing an episode on why people who are professionals and have clients and patients need to be aware of alternative sexualities and lifestyles in order to be able to give proper care to people. So if you have a story that you want us to include in that episode, or you want to call in, you can drop us an email at info@aspec, which is aspecc.ca, and you can find us on the website too. So This was Sex Talk. Have a sex positive day.
A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very nice. Just because you've been exploring my mouth doesn't mean you get to take an expedition for the south, no. A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very, very nice. Just because we've been playing tonsil hockey doesn't mean you get to score the goal that's in my jockeys. Just because I'm in a two-man novelty band doesn't mean it's all about Bhutan. I can't go around loving everyone. I just wouldn't get anything done. You could take me out to dinner, that might be quite nice. You could buy me a burrito and some beans and rice, but that won't get you into Pan's paradise. Because it takes you up to heaven, oh, oh. A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very, very nice. I'm only one man, baby, pretty baby. We're only two men, ladies. Babies, the pretty babies.